Today on the show, we strike a deal, we put on our wigs, look at some artifacts, and set down on a path to rob an empire. Welcome to Lore Party, the podcast that explores the stories, characters, and themes behind some of our favorite universes. I'm Jaden.
And I'm Kevin.
And I will accept no less than 50,000 credits for hosting this podcast.
Yeah, what about this crystal? I think it's worth more to me than you'd think, but like, you know, what about that? Can I barter?
Fine, but only for 3 days.
All right, fine.
And my name is now Clem.
There you go. Yeah, we're changing names. We're doing everything.
Absolutely.
So, welcome to episode 4. I'm going to already just say right away, this is going to be a longer episode. The episode itself was longer, so prepare yourself. Hang out, get some food.
But first, let's do a little housekeeping. We would love to hear from our listeners, so please email us at podcast@loreparty.com with your thoughts and questions. You might just see them appear in a future episode. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, we're still getting them. Like I said in the last episode, email us. We're getting them. We love them. We read them.
And if you'd like to reach out to Kevin directly, you can reach him at InTheLoop. That's IN_THE_LUPE on Twitter and K_Loops, Twitch, and Instagram.
That's right, folks. Come on by. Say hello. But don't forget, you got to say hello to Jaden, too. That's at Mr. Jad J, MrJadJay on Instagram and Twitter for all your fun Star Wars quips.
And, of course, you can connect with the Lore Party team on Instagram, Twitter, and Twitch at lore_party.
I feel like we do this so much, it just gets fun to, like, do it differently every time.
I feel like they're just going to start using the same intro every single time just to save time. They're going to get tired of our rantings.
No, I won't allow it. I will edit every episode. No.
Oh, you heard it. It's a cut and print. I don't have to do any more work.
There you go. There you go. So, like you all already know, what we're going to do is going to go over that little brief synopsis of the episode, sprinkle in some lore, some fun, comment on some stuff, and then we're going to get real into it, and we're going to talk about what happened and our thoughts and everything that we were going through. Basically, when we were texting each other about this episode too, we have a lot of thoughts here. I remember you sent me that TikTok about a certain Star Killer, right?
Yes, and we'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have more info for you on that.
I definitely want to know because I knew you were bugging out in that room when you saw that room. You were probably
absolutely
like seeing. Yeah, you're seeing everything. So, this is episode 4. If you haven't watched the mini movie 3-part episodes that came out earlier last week, go watch that, listen to our episodes, and then jump in this one. We're going to get on a really interesting journey here, and I think this episode is the beginning, the true beginning of the show.
Absolutely.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, you've been warned officially, so let's get into it. All right, the episode starts off with Luthen and Cassian. They're on his giant ship, which I think in a previous episode I said it was a Kuati ship. I was wrong, it's a Fondorian ship. I got my Imperial shipyards mixed up in my mind.
Oh man, you mean all that Star Wars lore in your brain? You made a mistake. I'm so sorry.
It gets confusing sometimes. Much like the Imperial records on where the Executor was created, because both Fondor and Kuat both claim to have built the ship in their shipyards, when in fact it was actually just Kuat. Fondor built the Lusankia, which was buried on Coruscant.
A lot of words.
A lot of words. Anyways, Luthen. He's telling Cassian, you know, hey, get a med pack for your arm, and then he's trying to see if they're being followed. And he directs his ship's AI to go to Aldani, and they jump to hyperspace.
And while this happens, Cassian starts kind of, he has a lot of questions. He asks, you know, what's powering this ship? Because it's easily able to go to hyperspace, as well as, like, it was super fast and did all these crazy maneuvers. Cassian's like, I've flown this kind of ship before. This is different. What's going on here? What's Aldani? Who are you, really? Like, what's happening here?
Luthen doesn't really even answer that. He's just like, hey, so what's your plan?
Yeah, he just, like, straight up ignores him. He's like, yeah, so he's anyway. Like,
whatever. Which, that's his whole character. Is like, he doesn't have time. He doesn't have time to deal with Cassian's bullshit. He's like, I'm on me. I'm on my time right now. I gotta get where I gotta go, so you shut up.
Oh, no. Oh, no. That sounds like I don't have time to explain why I don't have time to explain.
Yeah, pretty much. He's like, hey, you know what? I will drop you off, Cassian. I will drop you off anywhere you want to go. Or you can join me. Or you can kill me.
I vote kill him. Take the badass ship.
Right? But I don't. It's funny because I don't think that droid that would let him. And it was so funny because, like, Luthen just the whole time is just very serious. Like, I don't have time for you to, like, argue with me or ask questions. Just, like, those are your options. And Cassian's like, what the fuck are you? Like, who are you with? Like, why does death not phase you?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he rouses like which resist, you know, like, he names a bunch of different, like, rebel cells, like Saw Gerrera, gets thrown up the partisans, and Luthen's just like, yeah, man, you tell me, man, I don't know.
He's like, yeah, uh-huh, whatever, they're all the same.
And Cassian, he says, hey, you know what, man, you don't know me. And he talks about how he used to fight on Mimban when he was 16. Out of prison, right into the battle, he says. And then Luthen's like, no, actually, that's not how it happened. You were a cook originally.
Yeah, and he calls him out on, like, all the inaccuracies of his explanation of his story. And it's really interesting to see Cassian be like, holy shit, you know, like, you really know who I am.
You know who,
like,
I am.
That's the thing, it's like, you don't know me, and then it's like, you know me, like, a lot. Like, what's up? You did your Tinder research. I don't know, what's going on?
Well, and that brings into question that line where he has in Rogue One, like, I've been in this fight since I was 6 years old. Like, is that just part of his nature to lie about his origins, possibly? Because he definitely looks older in those flashbacks that we saw him in episode 3.
There is definitely a lot of the theme. I'll talk about it later, but the theme of deception and secrets is, I think, you're just going to see it a lot. That's all I'll say. You'll see it a lot, and I'll get into it at the end of the episode, like, later on. I have a lot of thoughts on this, but you're going to see a lot of that. So after this, Luthen says, you know, he knows the outside. He knows what people tell him when they ask. And he says he can just imagine the rest. And he imagines the hate Cassian has for the Empire and admits, you know, he came for Cassian. He didn't come for that unit. He then admits it. He's like, nah, man, I came here for you.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, he then offers Cassian a job. And he's like, I'll pay you 200,000 credits for stealing the quarterly payroll of an entire Imperial sector. How's that sound?
Yeah, I think he even says, like, don't you want to hurt these bastards for real? And I was like, ooh. Yeah.
He says it again, basically. That. He's like, yo, come on, man. Don't you want to fuck these guys up?
It's like, let's hit them where it hurts, their wallets. And I was like, oh, I like that idea. So while this is happening, we actually cut over to Coruscant. And we see the infamous Imperial Security Bureau, which I'm so happy the ISB is back in canon, because they were always a fun, like, shadow evil organization within an evil organization. A group of officers, they're discussing security funds as well as moving around personnel. I want to make sure I say this right. Major Partagaz.
Yep.
Yes. Okay, great. Played by Anton Lesser from Game of Thrones is going over the reports, calling out his which that's Qyburn, by the way. Everybody's seen Game of Thrones. And he's it's so funny. He's just like he's just yelling at his officers. Like, they'll be like, oh, yes, reports of sabotage are down 4% in my sector. And he's like, why only 4%, you idiot? You're supposed to do 8. He's like, it's because like, you're stupid, right? He's like, no. Yeah, you
he's
are.
He's just calling everybody out on all of their, like, insufferable failures.
Yeah, like, I think really what it is this guy seems like he probably was a holdout from the Republic. So, yeah. Like, he's probably used to an era where, like, the officers were supposed to, like, you know, work together to help each other, whereas, like, he just sees all this backstabbing bullshit from all these officers, and he's just calling them out on, like, Don't sugarcoat me. Tell me the real issue you have in your section.
He's very by the book, but also I think he's curt and stern. And like you said, no bullshit. He really just is like, come on, out with it already. Let's go.
Yep. He goes around and he asks. Finally, he gets fed up. He's like, all right, you know what? What's the purpose of the Imperial Security Bureau? The only person who seems to answer is Lieutenant Deirdre Miro. And you pointed out that this is the voice of Yennefer in The Witcher.
Hey, what's up, Babu? Figured you might like that one.
This is a tie-in for the Witcher podcast.
Yeah, so if you guys, if you like The Witcher, you should go listen to Winds Howling.
Ah, see, we did it. All right.
On Apple Podcasts and Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts.
That counts as our ad read.
There you go.
She gives the typical, like, by-the-book response. He's like, you know what? No. Yeah, you stop. You're done. It's not what I'm looking for. I don't want the by-the-book response. I want the real response.
And what's really funny is he gives this like great response. I wrote it in our quotes section, so we'll say the quote.
So we'll get to it.
It's funny. He says, at least in the beginning of the quote, he says the security part of what they do is just bullshit. Basically, he calls themselves like, you know, he's like, nah, the security stuff, like that's like TSA bullshit. He's like, no, we're not. That's not what we are. And then he ends up like talking to another officer and calls him out. It's the guy who I believe had spoken earlier, and he's like, that's what we really do. Is that right, so-and-so? And the guy just looks at him, he's like, yeah. And then he's like, great, you're going to be reassigned, and like just gets the guy out of there.
You're fired.
So he ends up going over what happened in the last episode now with Lieutenant Supervisor Brevin. And about like what happened in the last episode with that fight and everything. He basically gets all that intel. And they find out that the box was then recovered. So, like I said, huzzah, that box was going to come into some type of storytelling. I knew it. And Miro, she quickly looks concerned as soon as this happens and starts kind of messing with her console.
Concerned and also kind of excited.
Yeah, she seemed excited, but I don't know. I feel like she was like, oh, shit, this is bigger than I. Like I feel like she's like, this is my next big break or something. I don't know. I have a feeling there's something going on there.
Now, back on Aldani, Cassian is now, he's clean shaven, so he doesn't look like himself. You know, he looks more like the older photo, but like he kind of trimmed his face up a lot more. Yeah. And Luthen's like, all right, come up with a new name. And he's like, Clem. He's like, all right, you're Clem for the next 3 days.
What a fucking name.
Yeah. Right as this happens, a woman starts approaching the ship, and Luthen explains, like, he's like, hey, I'm going to go talk to her. The boss is not going to be happy. And Cassian's like, wait a minute, I thought you were the boss. And he's like, I never said I was the boss. You're going to work for her. And he's like, what do you mean? Like, what incentive do I have to work for her? And he goes, how about this? He's like, consider it a down payment. And he pulls out a necklace, and he says, it's a Kuati signet with a Kyber crystal. Ooh. Coming back around, which I now know the Luthen is a Jedi theories are flying all across the internet. You know, he says it's collateral and not to take less than 50,000 for it, but it is worth way more to him and he wants it back when this whole thing is all over.
So the woman who approaches the ship is known as Vel, and she is played by another Game of Thrones actor, Faye Marseille, who plays the Waif. There are a lot of Game of Thrones people in this, which is great. That's also kind of a themey thing here. She walks over and discusses the whole Clem situation with Luthen. She's not happy about it, just like Luthen knew. That's a whole other thing, too. She does almost everything Luthen says that she would do. Cassian's on the ship, and he's definitely thinking about stealing it, which I thought was really funny. The AI yep. of the ship turns and turns its little like eyeball thing and just stares at him. Is like, can I help you? And he's like,
nothing.
No, thank you. No, thank you. So Luthen is struggling a bit to convince Vel of Clem's importance. And she says, you know, they only have 3 days to do the job. It's a little too late in this situation. And he says he's paying Clem, which is a big deal to her. She's like, hold the fuck up. You're not paying anybody here. Now I have a mercenary on our team, apparently. Wait a minute.
Yep.
And she's just not happy about it. And he says failure just would be a devastating thing for them and that they have to be successful. And he ends up yelling at her. He's like, you're the leader. Be the leader. And it kind of feels like it's more like he's offering her leadership in the situation as like a test or something. He kind of is in charge and is giving her that opportunity to be a leader. And so, because she like folds. She just folds.
This felt very much like a mentor-mentee situation.
Yeah.
He's like, God damn it, this is your, like, I can't be here. You have to do this. It can't be me.
Yep. And he tells her, you can either take Clem, like you could take him, or I'm shutting this whole thing down.
Yep.
And so clearly he's funding this operation, obviously. And he says the odds of this job have improved since they met. And now they just went up because of Clem tremendously. So he tells her to be the leader, handle the situation. And don't worry, if you can't trust Clem, Clem is disposable. That's why I'm paying him. And then he says, Clem, come on out. And Clem walks out.
Yep. I think this big thing, too, is that he kept saying, like, the reason that he's disposable is because he's not even a primary part of the mission. He is the backup. He is a redundancy. He's just good enough to do every little bit of the mission, but not to do the whole mission himself.
It's so fucking cool. He's got, like, all these skills, like... He's cool. This Clem guy sounds great.
Yep. Now, meanwhile, we're going to get to probably your favorite part of the episode.
Absolutely. You know it.
The Empire is now all over the security center, and they are taking over Karn's office. They are throwing everything out. Their Imperial troops are walking through, cleaning up. And Brevin is telling Karn and Chief Hine, you can say this part, by the way.
He's also played by Rupert Vansittart, who played Jon Royce in Game of Thrones. Guys, the Vale, come on. Like, this Game of Thrones, it's everywhere. It's infiltrating everything. Everything.
Really. And Sergeant Mosk, he tells him, like, you are done. You are the death of private security in the Empire, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I was like, that's kind of surprising considering only three guys died. I feel like that was not...
Well, three officers and one civilian, so there are four. But again, that civilian, I don't know.
Does that count?
Does Tim count as a person? I don't know.
I mean, I'm very surprised of an Imperial officer caring about the death of any civilian whatsoever, to be honest.
Ah, there you go.
My favorite part is that the supervisor doesn't even understand why he's being punished. He's like, why am I in trouble? I said not to do this.
Yeah.
And the guy's just like, yeah, but you let him do this. It's like, this whole thing reeks of incompetence.
And Mosk raises his hand to ask a question, and he turns, he's like, seriously? Really? Really?
Like,
right now?
No. Yeah, like, you fucking moron, shut up. You bunch of incompetence. And he even walks up to Karn, and he's just like, so are you proud? Are you proud? You're the reason that the Morlana system will no longer be independent. It is back under permanent Imperial authority. Like, this thing is, you have doomed this corporate system. Congratulations.
Yeah. Yep. One little fuck up by this guy has complete corporate independence gone. So back on Aldani, Clem is asking, you know, who the hell Luthen is. And Vel is like, we do not discuss Luthen. No, do not talk about him. If you do, when we get to camp, if you say anything, we're going to have a bad time. You're going to pretend that this is all part of the plan. This is all part of the plan to rob the armory. Clem is now pissed. Clem is very confused. I'm going to keep saying Clem because it's a hilarious name. Clem is like, wait a minute. An armory? What? That's not supposed to be the plan. He didn't say. And Vel's like, who? Who are you talking about now? And Clem's like, I'm going to have to learn.
Yep. More specifically, they say there's a garrison at the armory.
Yeah.
Which is why he's like, whoa.
They end up mentioning later on that it's 40 people. I don't think that's really not that much.
It is when you consider that they're stormtroopers.
True, true. She says that there are 7 of them on the team now, which is like, whoa, that's a small team. And then all of a sudden a TIE fighter shows up, and it is so terrifying because it's loud as all hell. My basement was shaking. It was insanely loud. TIE fighters, they go by, and these two have to run and hide. And they just hide, and they wait for the TIE fighters to go away.
So while this is happening, Miro is actually going over the report from Karn's little fiasco. And they misspelled Ferrix. Like, that's how fucking pathetic these guys are. She says the unit Cassian was holding was from her sector. So, like, the box was from her group, and she's like, hey, you know what? That means I could be involved in this case. This is great.
technically, by her standards of understanding the book, she is entitled to jurisdiction and tells her officer below her to go talk to Brevin and be like, yo, we're taking over the investigation.
Well, what I love about that sequence is that she tells him, like, hey, go get permission. And he goes, well, why don't you go get it? And she goes, because if I go get it, he'll know it's important. They're playing the stupid imperial game. A normal organization would just be like, oh, hey, look, here's this stuff. But, like, any attempt to cooperate with one another is seen as a challenge to, like, authority and power.
Yep. So after this, I actually will say this might be my favorite scene. Maybe this one or the next one that I talk about. Luthen has returned to Coruscant and opens up a hidden door in his ship. This area is all clean and nice, clearly not used very much, compared to the dirty, more metallic-looking side of the ship. All of a sudden, this rack comes down and a mirror shows up. And Luthen just stares at the mirror, puts on all these rings and this new outfit and a wig. He's standing there and he is all serious and then smiles and leans back and looks all very artisan-y, like, ha, 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 rich guy kind of thing.
Yeah, his whole demeanor changes. Like Christopher Reeves when he goes from Superman to Clark Kent. It's like,
yeah,
this is the mask that he is wearing.
Yeah, the body language completely changed. And he's in disguise. And I saw this, or rather, this is how everyone sees him. Kind of like how he said to Cassian, you know, the earlier, I get the surface level stuff when people ask me, you know, if I ask questions or something like that, I get that surface level information. And then I imagine the rest. This is his surface level disguise. And then we go back to Aldani with Vel, and Vel's explaining the history of the planet to Clem and what their kind of, I would say, disguise is. They are these, like, nature hippie people. That's what, if an Imperial person comes up, that's what they are. Because the Imperials moved everybody super, super south. And he's like, well, we're here. There's not supposed to be anybody here. And she's like, actually, this is what our, you know, disguise name of what we are pretending to be. This is what we are. And she explains that the planet is a perfect hub for distribution if one were trying to take over the galaxy, which I thought, ooh, so this is a very important planet.
Yep. But deceptively important. It's not like a Coruscant or Kuat or Fondor. This is a logistics hub.
Yeah, it's like in the middle of nowhere where she said something like it's like too far away from everything to be important, but also too close to not be important or something. It's all along the lines of that.
So meanwhile, we cut back to Coruscant and Miro. She actually goes to Blevins and argues, you know, he's like, hey, why did you deny my jurisdiction? Like, why did you deny my access to this case? And he says, she's only been here for 1 year and she needs to check herself. He says, you will fall and you will fall alone. It's like, oh, they are getting into it.
It was pretty much like a check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yeah, like careful, I'm in charge here. We cut back to Vel and Clem and they're coming up to the campsite where the group is located. Which we now get to meet, like, the rest of the heist crew. So, forgive me if I say these names wrong. The boy who was supposed to be on watch, he falls asleep, and all of a sudden, a blaster is shoved in his face. And we hear Arvel Skeen, played by Eben Moss Bacharach. Did I say it?
Yeah, he's from the new TV show that came out, The Bear. He's not gonna make me a sub, that's all I'll say with that. Anybody who watches The Bear, no, he will not make you a sub in this show.
He was also a bad guy in The Last Ship, but no one saw that, Joe. So he puts the gun in the kid's face and he goes, everyone's dead. He's like, what? He's like, hey, you know, Saw Gerrera, he would fucking kill you if he caught you asleep. And the mood we get as Clem and Vel come into camp is that they are not happy that there is a new person on the team so late. And Vel's just like, get over it. This was always the plan. I just never told you guys about it.
Yeah, I think that this, you know, her being upset and these guys being upset, there's a theme there. Everybody ends up being upset. It's kind of obvious.
She's like, nobody's happy. Shut up.
Yeah. So then we go to Karn. This is also one of my favorite sequences. Karn is seen walking through a spaceport, mega depressed, just a straight upset face. And then he's just, we get this great montage of him going through a city, and everything's all flashy and nice, and then all of a sudden, eventually, it just kind of starts looking the same, like, all the buildings just look the same, everything just kind of looks like, just, kind of like an, like, if you want to talk about order, right, like, everything starts looking the same, and there's no diversity of buildings, there's no diversity of architecture, anything like that. And so he is in an elevator, and he's just standing there looking out, looking depressed. And then he, like, gets off the elevator. I actually thought he left his bags in the elevator because he, like, leans down. I thought he was just holding them in the elevator. and then I was like, oh, my God, he's going to blow up the elevator. I was, like, freaking out. And then he just walks off with them, and I'm like, okay. And he walks out, and he walks up to a door, and a woman opens the door, stares at him, and he just goes, "Mother." And boom, smacks him right in the face. And then gives him a hug and is like, come on in. And then, like, the neighbor in the back, she's like, what are you looking at? And I was like, oh, okay.
The parallels between his mother and Mira are very interesting.
So after this little short sequence, we don't see Karn for the rest of the episode. Back on Aldani, Clem is now being attended to for his blaster injury on his arm. Vel is talking with the group, telling them that, you know, she trusts him with their lives and her life. Because that's the big thing. They were like, I don't know, do we trust him? Do you trust him? And finally she's like, that's for me to say, you know, you don't have to worry about that, you know? And they're like, no, we need to worry about that. And so she's like, yes, I trust him. I trust him with my life.
Which is a very big deal considering they don't know him, but they know her. All right, so while this is happening, we cut back to Coruscant and we see a very fancy vehicle fly up to a very fancy shop. We find out that it's actually Luthen's shop. And he's being informed by his assistant Clea that Senator Mon Mothma has just arrived with a new driver. And this is when we get to see Luthen in a completely different attitude than we've seen him throughout the series. He comes up to her very jovial and very happy to see her. Your typical merchant who glad hands with, like, the stars of the elites on Coruscant. You know, Senator, welcome, please come. Look at my wares. How are you today?
Even his register, his voice's register is higher.
Yes. Much more disarming and, like, welcoming. He says, I hear you're trying to get a gift for your husband. And she's like, why, yes, I am. You're very good. I'm looking. And he goes, well, I remember he has a taste for military history. He takes her over to a specific little part of the shop. But in the background, we see a couple of little artifacts that people jumped out at. The big one that for me was, you called it earlier, the Starkiller helmet, which, yes, it is, but it is actually a Sith assassin helmet.
Yep.
Which is what Starkiller wore when he turned to the dark side in the alternate ending for the Force Unleashed video games, which I was like, yep. Ooh, at the very least, the cool ass helmet is canon again.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some other things too, like Beskar. There was actually some artifacts from the Portal Beyond the Worlds. You see it in the finale of Rebels. I'm saying it wrong. I'll kick myself later for saying it wrong. But there's just a lot of cool stuff. Long story short, Clea, she goes over to the driver. Is like, hey, do you want to see some coins? Want to see some ancient coins? He's like, oh yeah, sure. Why not, pretty girl? I'll look at some artifacts with you. And then Luthen, like, expertly at the same time brings Mon Mothma to the back of the shop, and then he immediately drops his, like, happiness. Like, he's just like, oh, yes, we're getting, where the fuck's my money?
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, I'm trying to get it. Like, listen, it's difficult.
Yeah.
She's immediately, like, literally, he was just immediately like, where the fuck is my money?
If you saw a meme where somebody was smiling and then just gets super serious, that's
oh, yeah. The Far Cry 6 meme. And she's like, come on, I'm being watched. Look, they swapped out my driver. And he doesn't even, he's like, don't give me that. We're all being watched. Like, everybody's being watched. Like, come on, there's a new spy every day. She's like, no, it's different now. There's a new spy in the Senate. He's like, okay, listen, I found someone to bring into the circle. And Luthen's like, we need money, not another person to worry about. And she's like, hey, listen, I get it. I am the most vulnerable out of everyone. I'm the first one who's going to get caught. And then as she says that, like, they walk out, she immediately walks back to the shop, and he's like, oh, please, let me know if your husband likes this product. And it was, and the wording they used after was so good, and I'm sure it's in the quotes. I trust your judgment in this matter.
Yep.
And it was like, oh.
Now, back on Aldani, a man on a speeder shows up, and he's in Imperial garb. And obviously, he's working with them. His name is Lieutenant Gorn. He's part of the team, and already furious. He's screaming and yelling. Clem comes out, and Gorn looks at him and says, you know, you're just basically another person that I have to worry about. Clem walks away, and Vel then asks, like, yo, what's up with the TIE fighters patrolling? Like, what's the deal?
Yep.
He tells her, there's an Imperial engineer from Coruscant coming. Which I thought, what? Who? What's happening? What's going on? I need to know more about that. They're mapping the old trails for this guy. And Gorn is going to move the patrols south before their job. It's going to be like a day or so. He's going to move all of the patrols to go way further south. Try to get some TIE fighters to stay away from them and stuff. Clearly, I would say Gorn is, I don't know, someone in charge of like a large portion of whatever the operation at the armory is. Because I feel like if he has the ability to change an entire patrol of TIE fighters, you gotta have some sort of higher up authority.
Yes. So while this is going on, Mon Mothma, she's arrived home with her husband's gift. Now, if you're expecting a lovely, happy marriage, you are wrong. These two seem like they fucking hate each other.
This guy's an asshole.
He is a dick. She walks in on him, like, setting up for company. And it seems to me like this might be, he must, like, a house husband situation, because he doesn't seem like he doesn't give off the impression that he works, because he's just talking about, like, oh, you're ruining my plans and all my arrangements. And she walks in, he's like, hey, wait, you didn't tell me we were having company. He's like, I absolutely did. I told you last month. She's like, no, you didn't. And she's, who's coming over? And it turns out he invited politicians to dinner who fucking hate her.
Yep.
Because all they do is try to undo all the good stuff that she's doing. She's in the Imperial Senate, but she still has some measure of power. So she's trying to do the good where she can. And these people just keep stopping. And her husband just fires back, well, yeah, well, at least they're fun. You're boring.
The argument, this is a bad argument. I'm just, the guy's,
he's not nice. And then he's like, I heard you brought a present for me. And she's like, it's going back. I was like, wow, this is.
Well, the other thing too is he does that thing where he's just like, oh, I can cancel it if you want.
Yep.
Like he's like kind of, obviously he is not happy with her having all this power, because he's just like, you know, ooh, you're senator. I can cancel it if that's what you want. It's like, this guy's a jerk, you know?
Yeah.
So now we're back in Aldani, and Vel is explaining the plan to the team again and going over it with Clem. There's a really cool little model figure of everything going on here, which is really, I like that. I thought that was great. And they explain that there are caverns underneath where a river used to be before the Empire dammed the river up. Nemec, who is the kid who was sleeping earlier, Nemec made the model kit and is very protective of this model kit and is like, no, Vel, don't touch this. I will move this. And like, it's kind of cute. It was
just one job, and he's very proud that he got to do that job.
Yes, but it also shows how very young this kid is, because I think this is the youngest person on the team. And it was just cute. I liked it. I thought it was cool. So the plan is that they're going to use a Rono freighter. It's just a box freighter. And they're going to infiltrate this dam area, which is where the armory and everything is. They're going to get this freighter. They're going to escape through the tunnels underneath the river that is dammed. So now there's no more river. It's very, it's like a stream now. Clem is kind of like, "Huh? What? I'm not convinced on this. There's TIE fighters. We're only going to make it a certain amount of, you know, way, and then we're going to get caught." And they're like, "Oh, we got about 9 minutes of headway." And he's like, "Yeah, those are TIE fighters, guys. Like, no, not going to happen." Vel explains that there are these old stones on the riverbed, and they signify something. It's what's left of a temple that used to be in the middle of the river. And Gorn explains that every 3 years, there's like a celestial event that occurs, He says it's like 50 meteor showers all at once, and Nemec is like, it's more of a massive crystal shower. And it just, these crystals fall and they explode in the sky. So the sky is not going to be utilized by TIE fighters. They can't. I thought it was also really cute how Nemec was just so into the science behind it and was like correcting everybody on this event and explaining it. And Gorn is like, I've seen this happen twice. I've been here almost 7 years. It is fucking cool.
Yep.
Trust me. You will never forget it. So basically, they're going to use this as their escape distraction, and the sky is going to be just unusable, so they should be able to have that headway and just continue to go. And so Clem is like, all right, fine, we could do it. I get you.
Yep. I think they're like, he's like, okay, this could actually work, which is, you know, why they're there. Back on Coruscant, though, Major Partagas walks in to hear both claims of jurisdiction to Ferrix. He agrees that something may be going on, but unless there is concrete evidence, he will not act on a feeling and denies the jurisdiction change. He lets Blevin leave. He's like, hey, you stay here. You, Blevin, get out of here. He says that even though Blevin can be a pain, he does get his work done, and you still have not sent me the reports you were supposed to. You know, you're supposed to be more. You're supposed to be competent and tucked away. He's impressed by her numbers, and she thinks she can do a good job. So he's like, he's putting her down, but he's still encouraging her. He's like, listen, you have the potential to be a good officer, but you got to get the basics done first.
Yeah, he's like, you know, you came from enforcement or whatever. And he's like, you know, here we don't act on a feeling, which I thought was really funny.
Yep.
Call out, like, you know, against, you know, security forces, cops, all that shit. I thought that was really funny. He's like, it's not about a feeling. Here, we investigate with concrete evidence, and we don't act until we have that evidence. So, take your feeling bullshit, your gut feelings, throw them away. We don't use that here. Now, the last sequence, what we see is the Aldani team just sitting around a fire, and they're just eating dinner. And Clem is given specs for a freighter, the whole garrison, and even a Aldani phrase book. So Clem's looking at all this shit like, can I eat? Is that cool, guys? Like, I'm just trying to eat dinner. And Vel's like, here's the deal. Learn everything by morning. And yeah, you can eat. Get your arm looked at real quick. And you need to learn all of this by the time you wake up. And he's just like sitting there. And he's looking around the fire. And we get this really nice close-up of him. And then that's it. I thought it was good. I liked that. I thought that was a great ending. I thought that ending shot was really cool.
I would agree. All right, guys. Now that we've finished the recap, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. And then we're going to jump right into it with our reactions and our thoughts for the future. Stay tuned. Okay, we are back. Hope you enjoyed those ad breaks. I always do. Gives me a chance to drink some coffee. And now we get to talk about the episode. I think that this episode was great. I think that the setup for it was fantastic. I think that it felt a lot more... You said Game of Thronesy.
Yeah, and yeah. I mean, I wonder why Everybody's from Game of Thrones.
And then I think that's the feel they were going for, is that like you're looking at the political intrigue and the backstabbing and the infighting of factions developing within the Empire.
Yep.
And you know, that's what you're going to get. You know, it's not always going to be constant shoot 'em ups. You got to have some people to move the plot along as well. And I think that was executed really, really well.
Yeah, I agree with that. I noticed there were a lot more stories going on right now in this episode than last time. So I could see where some people, like, why they could get confused as to what's going on.
A lot
on.
Of new characters have been thrown at you and then thrown away, too.
And I liked that they did not show anyone from the previous episodes, because Cassian left them behind, you know? So why should
they're
we
not
be
relevant
following
to the story,
unless,
exactly.
Yeah, they're not. They're not on his radar, and they're not on the story.
That's not to say they're not cool characters, because I like the characters we saw before, but, like,
oh, yeah.
You know, we don't need to see what's going on with the sergeant. from the previous episode.
Yeah, Brasso, I will say I like Brasso a lot.
I do too, but like he right now he is not important to the story. He may be later, but for now he's not.
Seeing Karn with Mom. No wonder he's the way he is.
Yep.
I'm beginning to see, you know, all right, makes sense. Now, I'm also beginning to see a pattern as well. The people in charge who are, or like the more vetted people, right, in specific spaces, they already know what's going on or what is going to happen before it does, you know? Mm-hmm. Karn's boss was like, here's how that situation went. Don't do anything because then XYZ will happen. And Karn didn't listen. XYZ did happen, as well as what had happened was what he said had happened. So that, you know, that whole thing. How many times can I say happen in one sentence? but also, if you look at Luthen, right? Luthen said, here's what's going on in our current situation. You know, when he was trying to buy the box. He was correct. He knew what was happening. Now talking to Vel, he knew what was going to happen in the conversation, and he guided that conversation. So these people who are more vetted in experience, definitely shows. They have this ability of, it seems like clairvoyance, but it's not. They just know because they've been through a lot of these situations already.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely right.
But back to... Again, Karn getting slapped by his mom is that was just fucking hilarious.
You really hate Karn. I love that.
Dude's a jerk. Like I said, he's the guy in class with 1 minute before the bell. Do we have homework? Like, like that kind of guy makes me just.
Yep.
Mm.
I think last thing I'll say about for the recap is I just think this episode it didn't answer the questions, maybe some of the questions we had from previous episodes, but like it's setting up for what's going to come in the future, which I like. You know, it's leaving you wanting more, which is exactly what you want for an episode like this.
Yeah, and I liked the fact, you know, like you said, like it barely answered questions. We got a couple, like with Luthen's backstory, like we kind of got like something there. We know a little bit more about him, but, you know, we don't know enough. I mean, obviously, we knew what was going to happen with that box. That was kind of a given. That box was going to be found, and then, like, the Imperials were going to show up. You know, like, that was kind of a given, which I liked that. But, like, it was predictable, but not too predictable.
And now that we've talked about that, I think it's time for us to get into some of the character quotes.
All right. Now, there are a couple of quotes here. Some of them are just badass quotes that I thought were really fucking cool. I don't know. I just was like, that's cool. But they definitely have a meaning, or a theme to what's going on.
Which the first one that you have written down here was, isn't it all the same? And I love that because it's talking about like all at the time they were talking about like all the different pockets of resistance, which would eventually form the Rebel Alliance. They're all scattered now, but they will come together to form a rebellion sooner than later.
Yeah, I liked that. I thought, you know, they're talking about all these people, but they all have the same goal. They want to take out the Empire.
Yep.
And I thought it was funny the way he said it, too. He's just like, what? Like, they're all the same, right? Like, who cares? Like, whatever. And I just, I don't know. I felt like that was really, really funny, but also just overall, like, it doesn't fucking matter what we call ourselves as long as we all have the same goal.
Absolutely.
The next quote I thought was kind of weird, though, because it was from Cassian, and it kind of felt like he changed his tone. He said, it's better to live, eat, sleep, do what you want, you know, and when he's, like, offered to, like, fight the Empire. And I thought that was interesting because Luthen calls him out and is like, hey, when you were a kid and you escaped, you know, you got out of prison and then you went into this battle and they had you all fight each other and you didn't realize it and all this other shit. The only reason you survived is because you ran. And I think that that's interesting to view Cassian how we do now, because we see him as like, oh man, look at him. He's kicking ass. He's fighting. He's, you know, sneaking around. But like, if you actually look at the last three episodes, he didn't really do much fighting. He did a lot of duck and cover and sneaky hiding. The only time we saw him like actually fight was in the first scene where he kills the two guards. he doesn't really fight even in that abandoned factory. He is kind of, you know, trying to get out. You know, he's trying to escape.
I mean, I wouldn't say he's not fighting. I mean, he definitely was fighting.
I agree, but I think it's more like fighting to run away rather than fighting to win the battle.
Self-preservation is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I can agree with that. Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. I found that quote to be interesting just because it felt almost complete opposite to the character. But then when you think about it, it's like, actually, that is kind of what he is. You know, he just wants to live. He just wants to hang out. Now, the next quote I was definitely a fan of. It's Luthen. And it's the reason I got this is it's just another badass Luthen quote. He says, I imagine your hate. I imagine no matter what you tell me or what you tell yourself, you'll ultimately die fighting these bastards. Well, spoiler alert. Are you there?
Oh, up here. I was waiting for the spoiler alert.
That, okay. All right. You're a funny guy. But yeah, no, I just thought, you know, yet again, Luthen sees the future.
Yeah. I love that idea. It's just like, you know, foreshadowing.
Now, the next quote is something that I think a lot of us, even in the real world here, can definitely, I think we can definitely relate to this one. It's Luthen, and it's Luthen in his shop talking to the senator, and what he says is, it's hard being surrounded by this much history and not be humbled by the insignificance of our daily anxieties. Woof.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Talk about, like, God, stab me in the heart here. Jeez. It's a great quote. You know, everything's going to shit, but, like, everything was always going to shit. Or, you know, it's just really cool to hear something like that. I think just for me in general, and I'm like Star Wars aside, I think that's a really good quote. Like, just to, like,
it was a message to Star Wars fans not to take things too seriously.
That too. But yeah, just, you know, he's surrounded by all this stuff, these artifacts of war, these artifacts of great importance, of really cool events and all this other shit. And he's just like, you know, all your daily shit, you know, like, get humbled, man. Like, this stuff, you know, you think you got it bad? Oh, you know, look at these guys. They died doing this.
Absolutely.
They did the XYZ. Like, you know, chill with your anxieties there, which, I don't know. It was like a nice reality check.
The last one we have, and I like this one. This one was probably my favorite.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Security is an illusion. You want security? Call the Navy. Launch a regiment of troopers. We are healthcare providers. We treat sickness. We identify symptoms. We locate germs, whether they arise from within or have come from outside. The longer we wait to identify a disorder, the harder it is to treat the disease. I love that quote so much because this is a guy who takes a clinical approach to the security bureau. This is not someone who works on facts of feeling. He works on facts of fact. You know, let's take this as an analytical equation. You know, what percentage of money do I need to funnel into this sector to shut down this rebel operation?
Yeah, this is part of Gaz. When I saw it, it was, you know, those pockets of fermentation again, just like, you know, the sergeant said, the rebels, you know, the rebels are a disease, and obviously they are beneath us and they are germs to us. And I don't know, they need some humbling here, you know, like the ego is just so big. Look at their ships, look at their empire's reach, like they got a big ego. So it only adds to, again, that equation and thought process of these people can't really fathom any infiltration or any, you know, real threat to their empire, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So, I mean, I'm curious about your questions, if you had any, for this episode.
Honestly, I think the questions you wrote down are basically the ones that I had as well. Like, I want to know more about Luthen. His character is so interesting. I want to know, like, why does he hate the Empire? You know, everybody has their own motivations. Maybe he was friends with a Jedi who was murdered, and that's where he got the crystal from. Maybe he was a Jedi himself. I don't like that theory, but I've heard it said.
Yep.
Which, I mean, that would maybe explain his Black Ops training.
You know,
because I don't know how else an antique dealer would know how to fucking set charges.
Yeah, right. he's captivated me so much. I just want to know more about him. And also, this is going to sound weird, but I know we talked about it in Kenobi and stuff, even in the Halo stuff too, when we did that. Like, I want to know about these special effects now. This little crystal meteor shower, I want to know what this looks like. They've hyped it up a little
bit. It's going to be interesting because a lot of Andor sets are practical. I know for Mandalorian and Book of Boba, they were touting that 3D virtual green screen technology that they have, the smart screen.
Yep. Wait. Are you telling me they're going to actually have explosions in the sky?
Now, I don't think factual explosions, but it might be mixed in with some practical effects on the ground, which I think is going to be really freaking cool.
I don't know. I want to know about how people, like the audience, feel about this episode compared to the last three, because there's a lot more going on now than the previous episodes, and it definitely has that drama feel over, like you said, like the action shoot 'em ups. So I'm very curious about, like, you guys, you know, like, again, email us because I want to know. I'm really curious as to what the overall audience feel is on this episode comparative to the encapsulated, almost enclosed first three episodes, because the first three episodes were so stuck together as, like, you know, that mini movie or that, you know, three episodic, you know, mini series. So that's kind of how it felt to me. So I'm very curious as to how people felt versus the theme of this episode.
Absolutely, which it's going to be interesting to see where it goes in the future. I seem like I say that a lot.
Yeah. I mean I don't think there's anything wrong with that because it is so different. I mean, Rogue One was so different compared to the other movies.
That's very true.
And I think this show is already so different comparative to these other shows out there. There's no mystic shit going on. There's no Jedi at the moment. There's none of that shit. It's just, you know, these regular people. So, overall thoughts.
Yes.
Give me yours. What do you think?
Overall, I like the episode. I think it's a setup episode. I think we're going to get into the watching the factions play against each other as this goes on. I don't think this is the last we'll see of Karn. I think he'll probably work his way back in there somehow. Although that would be a bold choice of them to just remove him and not see him again like some of the other characters. Which,
just kind of weird.
But also it would symbolize, you know, that he was just another cog in the Imperial machine, like that he actually wasn't worth much in the end.
Or what if he joins the rebels and says he wants to infiltrate them and that he is now an Imperial spy?
That might be playing 4D chess, my friend.
I agree. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think he has the capability.
No,
to,
he can't. He can't even talk to guys on his side. Imagine trying to talk to the enemy.
Yeah, yeah. Overall, I thought this was a different pace than the last episodes. Like I said, but I'm invested. I'm invested in these characters. I want to see their backstories. You know, who were they before the Imperial takeover? It looks like because there are so many factions not brought together, I would like to see how these people play a role in becoming like the formal group that would be known as the Rebel Alliance. I would definitely like to see how everybody interacts. Obviously, this episode, I said it earlier, and now I'm finally going to talk about it. Obviously, this episode has an emphasis on the themes of, like, having secrets and deception, right?
Yes.
We see so many characters change their name, act differently. You know, Luthen is completely different. He's a completely different person. We have the senator who's completely different with him comparative to her everyday life, her shitty husband. Also, Husbando, because I don't know what the fuck was going on with that dude's outfit and hair. Oh, wow. that was weird. Her house was beautiful, by the way. Art Deco meets, like, Japanese.
Meets the future.
Fuck, it was that. Now that, I wish I could afford it. Maybe my wife will Sugar Mama, a new house for me. We'll see. But yeah, I overall, you know, Clem, the fuck, Clem, what? That name is weird. But anyway, everybody was deceiving each other. I don't think they are going to do that forever. I think it might change amongst the characters when the rebel groups
merge,
become more cemented together, yeah. You know what I mean? And I think, like, you'll have less deception within them, but more, like, throughout the Imperial Army and stuff. Like, they'll try to infiltrate and stuff. Obviously, that's a big deal. But overall, yeah, I loved it. I thought it was great.
And with that, we hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please take a second to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps us grow the show. And be sure to connect with us on Twitch, Instagram, and Twitter at lore_party. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.